Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, I'm sure so many of you will have its RTE Investigates programme inside the protest once again, highlighting the broader challenges facing Gardaí when it comes to policing anti-immigration protests. But when a peaceful protest turns, what is the threshold for a tougher response and who makes the call? Well, for more, we're joined now by Dr. Dave McInerney, who's retired Garda inspector and former head of the Garda National Diversity Unit. You're very welcome, Dave. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks.
One of the elements that we will have seen in that programme last night was, and this was common throughout, people filming the Gardaí. How fearful are Gardaí when they see that happening?
They expect it now, Claire. It's something that's expected. You're aware of the fact that you are being filmed all the time. So it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing new whatsoever.
Yeah, so that is something that has become part of the culture of policing at those protests. We have Pat Leahy as well on the line, former Assistant Garda Commissioner, and people who watch the programme, Pat, will have seen you because you were commenting on the footage as we went through it last night. Can you explain the policing model that we saw being used in some of those instances last night?
Well, Claire, in Ireland for many years, look, we've been using graduated response. And what that means, in simple terms, is you don't want to provoke a response by turning up at a protest with a particular approach. OK, so the approach has been, we're going to go in, we're not going to become the story here. We're going to put out our uniformed personnel in the front line to say, look, no, we're here. It's smiling faces and, you know, we're all in good form, community guards here. And until the violence actually starts or until it graduates up in terms of the abuse that the guards are getting, only then will they consider putting in the public order unit because they're trained and they're equipped for violence.
Mm-hmm.
The ordinary guards in the street are not. Another important point, Claire, is that we don't have a standing public order unit that we can call on at any given time. These are guards that are working in stations. They're the community guards. They're the patrol car drivers. They're the people on the beat who have to go back to the station, get their public order gear, put it on, and make their way to wherever the actual trouble spot is, unless it's a planned protest and that we have information.
Right. And just going back to what you explained there about when things escalate, there's no specific threshold, Pat, is there? Like it's more of a feeling about how a protest is unfolding and the Garda in charge on the day will make the decision.
Yeah, it is a little bit like that, Claire, because, look, often protesters will try and provoke a response from the police. So the police have to be wise to this. They can't allow themselves to be provoked. So they're watching, they're waiting, they're interpreting what they're seeing. They're listening. If it's a public order unit, they deploy as teams. The ordinary guards that we've seen in some of the protests here in their ordinary uniforms, they're not. They're turning up as individuals, generally speaking. So... but they're listening to a sergeant behind them, six guards in a unit, one sergeant and an inspector, then over three teams.
Mm-hmm.
The inspector is giving tactical advice to them. The sergeant is conveying that to the six members in his or her team. So they're operating to a strategy. They're tactically aware of what's happening. So they're talking to each other all the time. There's a strategy to it.
Okay. And Dave, to come back to you, like when we were watching the response to the incident in Coolong,
mm-hmm.
it certainly appeared to have been quite slow. What's your own take on that?
Yes, I mean, the guards that are at the scene will take action based on instruction from Garda management. So obviously they were briefed prior to that and they were told how to act in circumstances. For my take on it, usually at a protest, you have an inspector in charge. He or she will give an instruction on what to do. You carry out that instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on the principles of human rights protection. The majority and the minority. What rights have the minority got in that case? They're a minority protest. They have right to protest peacefully. The majority of the community have the right to go about their business, make their way to work. You know, there's emergency services trying to get through on the thoroughfares. We have to make sure that people can enjoy their rights equally. We don't allow one element impinge upon the rights of the majority. It's about fair policing technique. And if you break that, where if I have the right to protest, I must protest peacefully. Other people have the right to freedom of movement. As a police officer, I'm like a referee. I make sure that both sides are treated fairly. If one side impinges upon the other, interferes with their human rights, I take action and I make an arrest. Mm-hmm. And I don't make any excuses for this.
Yeah, and we should say that, you know, throughout Barry O'Kelly's film last night, there were likely people at that protest who had genuine concerns and were protesting in a peaceful way. We are talking about the minority here, but just going back Absolutely. To what we were talking about at the beginning about the filming, are the Gardaí trained to deal with that, to deal with people who are not only filming them, but also using aggressive language?
The Gardaí are trained. From the first day you go into Templemore, you're trained on how to deal with people who are using aggressive language. That's, you're trained to be calm, to be cool, to be professional. There's no, you know, this is something we're used to. We're used to being abused. You join the police and you know what, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to get that.
But you don't get full public order training, do you? That's a very specialised area.
It's specialised. That is specialised. And there are many hundreds of members have been trained in that area now. We have armed response units as well in every division in the country. So there are members trained professionally in the area mm-hmm. of public order.
Well, I suppose what I'm getting at is it right and correct to have rank and file Gardaí in those situations last night that we saw last night?
You know, again, wearing of helmets in a case like that there, that's quite simple. You know, you're given a helmet on the, you know, when you pass out of Templemore, you're giving, you know, everybody's issued a helmet. Mm-hmm. Why members were not wearing a helmet, I don't understand that. You know, so that's like safety alone of the members. At a protest, you would always have a helmet and a shield at least.
And Pat, what's your view on that, on the intimidation and the filming and so on, and how it is dealt with and how rank and file are trained with to deal with it?
Dave is right in as much as they do receive a certain level of training in Templemore as part of their basic training, Claire. But nothing prepares you for the filming, and then subsequent to that, you have the social media where they're out there and they're inquiring, can anybody identify this guard? Can anybody tell us where he lives? That type of intimidation and those frightening, those scare tactics are having an effect on guards. These are young men and young women with their own families. This is not part of the equation in terms of peacefully you know, policing protests. So it is affecting them and it is having a negative effect on them. So we do have to deal with that, Claire, there's no doubt about mm-hmm. it. And if we have to legislate for it, so be it. But it's not part of the normal protest approach, although it is becoming such. So look, they are affected by it. And we do have to deal with it. Now, again, to your first question in terms of the exposure of the uniformed guards, as we saw last night, my own view is that they were left exposed for too long. You know, they're not prepared, they're not equipped to deal with violence on the front line. They're there to show that we're not aggressive, we're not trying to provoke a response here. But when the people up the tempo and take them on and they abuse them like we saw last night, and they're using weapons and using stones and using bottles, the uniformed guards are not equipped for that. So we were putting them in harm's way, and last night it appeared to me that they were left exposed for too long.
And
that was the job for the public order unit.
And that goes back to your point at the beginning where the public order unit is not a full-time unit, and you're saying it needs to be, are you?
Well, we certainly do need to consider a standing unit that we have the capacity to call on them and they'll be there within a reasonable time. I mean, the 99 system is for that. Mm-hmm. We're an emergency service. We're one of the three emergency services. So we need to act in that context that we can respond to emergencies. And last night, as I say, and as the whole country saw, look, mm-hmm. those guards were left on their own for quite a while. I mean, at the beginning, you had two guards there. Three guards actually, and they were being physically and verbally intimidated, and they were left on their own, and then they were supported by other guards from around the city, uniformed guards, you know, who are not acting in teams. They're trying to figure out what's going on here, and I think they were left for too long.
Okay, and eventually
we need a Republic Guard unit in there that were operating to a strategy.
Yeah, and eventually we saw that. Dave, Pat mentioned the, you know, if we need new legislation for this, that we should have it. Now, we know that the hate crime bill, which is currently being drafted, it's become a bit of a political football due to the inclusion of hate speech measures. But are those laws that you would like to see introduced to bolster the ability of Gardaí to police a protest like these better?
Not really, Claire. We have the law there already. We have the Public Order Act of 1994. It's quite clear. Section 6 of the Public Order Act gives a guard full powers to arrest if he or she believes that there's somebody is using insulting, threatening words or behaviour or abusing people in a public thoroughfare, whether it's racially motivated or otherwise, the Garda may arrest, can use discretion in a case like that and arrest the person. There's no excuse where an arrest can't be made. We have the Prohibition and Incitement to Hatred Act of 1989, and I know people say it's not robust enough, but we've been using that. So, okay, I know there's a new bill, it's gone through the Dáil at the moment and it's going to the Senedd, I think, quite shortly. However, the guards have law there. Why not use it? You know, the courts, the judges in the courts are very fair here. They have the right of discretion. If I go to the court with a prisoner for having abused somebody in the street, calling them a name because of their colour or whatever, I go to the court and explain to the judge that this person was abused on the street. I also tell the judge that it was motivated by racism. The judge will decide then whether he or she will impose a stricter penalty or otherwise. Mm-hmm. So there's great discretion there. When it comes to aggravated sentencing, I know you're coming from here, Claire, with this new hate crime bill, it can cause a bit of this is causing upset, because there's a rumour going around that now that the guards are going to be able to walk into a house and take people's phones and arrest people if there's any sort of racist comment on their phone or something that can be perceived as racism on their phone. So there's a bit of a panic about this. It's saddening in a way, Claire, because I think we've had an incredible record here. Our population, when I went into the Garda Diversity Unit back in 2001, the population of ethnic minorities in Ireland was 3%, and that was seen as a huge change. So they set up this new Garda. It was called Racial and Intercultural Office at the time. Now, when I left that office, when I was transferred out of the office in 2019, the population of ethnic minority had risen to 17%. Mm-hmm. And in relation to hate crime,
it's higher again now.
And I'm sorry, Claire, in relation to hate crime, the figures of about 300 hate crimes a year had not risen, bearing in mind that the population had risen from 3% to 17%. Mm-hmm. The numbers of hate crimes are now about between 500 and 600 a year, which is too many by any measure. But still, it didn't rise in conjunction with how the demographics rose so hugely of ethnic minority people in the country.
Despite what might be said. I just want to bring you a Garda statement, because we asked for a response to what we saw last night. They say in July, the Garda Commissioner and senior Garda officers gave detailed information to a public meeting of the Policing Authority and the media on the policing operation undertaken in response to the serious public order incident in Coolock. This included the timeline of events, the policing response to the events, the escalation approach adopted. It also included details of the community outreach conducted by members of the Garda in the days afterwards that helped quell any significant violent disorder. These details were provided in public, but they go on then to remind us of some of the things that they said at that time. Over 200 members of the guards were deployed in the operation, including frontline uniformed Gardaí, supported by the public order Gardaí. And they say that 34 people have been arrested by Gardaí in relation to these events since Monday, the 15th of July, 2024. All right, we leave it there. Thank you both very much. That is Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner, and Dr. Dave McInerney, who's a retired Garda inspector. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.